Good morning, Symphony Church. We are continuing in the book of Mark, and today I'll be reading for us Mark chapter 13, verses 1 through 13. And as he came out of the temple, one of his disciples said to him, "Look, teacher, what wonderful stones and what wonderful buildings." And Jesus said to him, "Do you see these great buildings? There will not be left here one stone upon another that will not be thrown down." And as he sat on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter and James and John and Andrew asked him privately, "Tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the signs when all these things are about to be accomplished?" And Jesus began to say to them, "See that no one leads you astray. Many will come in my name, saying, 'I am he,' and they will lead many astray. And when you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. This must take place, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places. There will be famines. These are but the beginning of the birth pains. But be on your guard, for they will deliver you over to councils, and you will be beaten in synagogues, and you will stand before governors and kings for my sake to bear witness before them. And the gospel must first be proclaimed to all nations. And when they bring you to trial and deliver you over, do not be anxious beforehand what you are to say, but say whatever is given you in that hour, for it is not you who speak, but the Holy Spirit. And brother will deliver brother over to death, and the father his child, and children will rise against parents and have them put to death. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but the one who endures to the end will be saved." I want to start today's devotional by asking one question, and that question is, what is going to get you through today? What is going to get you through today? After we close out this devotional and we get ready to head out and face all that today has in store for us, the fact of the matter is that this is not a perfect world that we're living in. I'm sure you've all heard of this Omicron variant that's coming out of South Africa, and you know that's some recent news that might be concerning. But even more than that, if we stop and think about it, there's always been a lot of hardship that we have the potential of facing every single day. The fact of the matter is, our world is sort of in shambles. I'm not stating this to be some sort of doomsayer or conspiracy theorist, but the reality is that our world, our society, is a far cry from any sort of ideal, worryless life. And when we read our passage today where Jesus warns the disciples about all these horrible things that await them, you know, nations rising against nation, kingdom against kingdom, earthquakes in various places, famines, etc., I think that we can make a case that we're facing a similar level of disorder in the world today. And it's not just limited to these large-scale catastrophes either. Jesus also warns of the brokenness in individual relationships. You know, he says, "Brother will deliver brother over to death, and the father his child, and children will rise against parents and have them put to death, and you will be hated by all." Now, I'm not suggesting that we're in the end times or anything like that, but if we think about it, can't we resonate with Jesus' words when he describes this worry-filled, dangerous, broken life that awaited the disciples? Because we're in a world afflicted by sin, we have to daily face the effects of sin and go through the many trials and tribulations that stand in the way of living an abundant life. Jesus knew that this would be the case for us. He knew that this would be the case for his disciples, and that's why when he sits with Peter and James and John and Andrew and he tells them about these things, he paints this choice for them: to rely on other things to get through this life or to rely on him to get through it. In our passage, we see that Jesus stresses this warning to resist the temptation to trust in other things. In verse 5, he tells his disciples, "See that no one leads you astray, because many will come in my name, saying, 'I am he,' and they will lead many astray." Jesus foresees that when things get rough and these hardships that he's telling the disciples about start to happen, that there are going to be people that rise up and claim to be the answer to this hardship and suffering. It's as if Jesus is saying, don't listen to all these voices that promise you everything but lead to nothing. And today, although we might not get too many people claiming to be the literal Messiah who will show us the way to salvation, there are so many voices, both literal voices from people and the figurative voices of culture and society, that tempt us to believe that following them will help us overcome this world and its troubles. If I back the right political leader, they'll fix these problems. If I chase after success, then I'll want for nothing. If I surround myself with fun and happy friends, then I'll stop feeling this aching loneliness in my heart. If I just work on myself enough, then I'll be bigger than anything life throws at me. I don't know if any of those resonate with you, but those are just some examples that highlight just how many voices there are today that promise these solutions. There are so many things and people and endeavors that we can throw ourselves to try and come out on top in this life, aren't there? But Jesus says that these things will only lead you astray. They're nothing but distractions and false promises. At best, the relief and the comfort that they offer are merely temporary. You know, I feel like Jesus kind of takes note of this earlier in the passage when he tells one of his disciples that the temple they were in, as significant and promising as it might be, it would eventually be destroyed. Even this symbol of God's promise, which kind of turned into an idol for these Israelites, that it would eventually be destroyed. If we're to get through this life, then the answer isn't in any one of these temporary, hollow voices. We know that the true answer to all the world's problems, the only voice that will lead us to what they are promising, is Jesus himself. But interestingly, Jesus actually promises that we will face great trial and tribulation. He doesn't say, if you follow these other voices, you'll suffer, but if you follow me, you won't suffer. He guarantees to the disciples that they will be subject to all kinds of injustice and tragedy, even more so, actually, if they follow him. Jesus doesn't promise to be a solution to life's worries and hardships in the sense that if you follow him, that you won't have any of them. Instead, he promises us that he will lead us through them, and that at the end of it all, if we stay with him, that we will be saved. If we trust him and look to him as we go through this life, that he will lead us to that day where all creation will be redeemed. And this is so significant. This is so different from anything else that the world throws at us as a sort of solution. You know, that's why Jesus stresses that the gospel must first be proclaimed to all the nations, that there are people in this world that need to know that Jesus is the answer. It's not any of these other things. It's not any of these temporary measures to sort of dull the pain. But it's in Jesus, who promises that he will lead us through it all, and that on the other side, that we will be able to find peace in him. When we're asked the question, what is going to get you through today? When we answer that Jesus will, that's not to say that we won't face hardship or get everything we want. But it does mean that we will find peace in him. That there is eternity waiting on the other side. And I pray that that's something that changes our lives. And I pray that that's something that changes the lives of the people around us. You know, let's be transformed by this truth. Let's take heart knowing that he's overcome the world and knowing that he is the answer to this broken world. And let's not keep that answer to ourselves, but let's share that light. Let's share that hope with the people around us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this gift that you've given us in Jesus. We thank you that the effects of sin on this world are not things that don't have an answer. That sin is not the inevitable reality that we just have to suffer through. But Lord, although there is no guarantee that we're going to live a painless, easy life, there is a guarantee that you will walk with us through it all. And that on the other side, there is going to come a day where there's no more pain, where there's no more war, where there's no more suffering. Lord, I pray that you can just help us to look forward to that day. I pray that you can help us to share this truth, to share the good news of Jesus Christ, that he is the answer that we're looking for. Lord, would you empower us? Would you give us boldness to proclaim that to the people that we'll meet today? And Lord, I pray that we really feel that you're near us, Lord, through it all. We thank you, and in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.